Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
We're back for a Not a Thing podcast, and we're in a good spot. It's the week kind of before Christmas, if you're using Christmas as a landmark, or if you're using our show as a landmark. We're episode number 71. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Now I know. I have another topic which we will push into the stream later, I guess. let's see. That's an in joke for everyone who hasn't heard the show yet. That's a horrible.
Yeah, you didn't hear the pre-show. You're out of luck.
Good podcasting here. Good podcasting. Our first story this week is kind of interesting because it's the first time something man-made has landed on the moon since 1976.
Landed, not crashed.
Right.
Because they did crash something on purpose into the moon a few years ago.
Right. I guess you're right. You're right.
It could have been the second time that something's crashed in the last decade.
I guess they don't really tell us, like, all the times that stuff crashes into the moon. You know,
right.
There could be all sorts of mistakes that they just don't tell us about. But this week, or last week, something like that, China launched a lander and rover. So the lander landed, and the rover roved.
Roved. Awesome.
So I forget what the name of either of the parts. It was like Jade Butterfly, or
the rover's Jade Rabbit.
Jade Rabbit. Okay.
But not that, because, you know, it's in Chinese. Or Mandarin, or Cantonese, whatever it is. Probably Mandarin.
Probably.
Does it make me a bad person that I don't believe that we faked the moon landing in the 60s, but it wouldn't surprise me if China faked this moon landing?
Well, you know, as moon landings go, it's not bad. I mean, they got the robot up there and it's doing its thing. They have like a essentially a big animated GIF that's playing as the stream from it. So, you know, they're doing the right thing, I guess.
Well, at least in the version of the article that we're going to have the link to, I really like the Chinese television picture they have on there, which, you know, great for a podcast, visual medium. But there's a picture of the newscaster, and they've got her superimposed on the moon.
Yeah.
It looks really cheesy.
Kind of at an angle.
Yeah, very un-Cronkite.
I wasn't sure what they were going for, like, having it Evan on there. I think a while ago, there was a Kickstarter for a satellite that they were going to launch, and then essentially you could rent time to do stuff on it if you were like a research scientist or whatever. But in order to get enough money to get it into space, one of the Kickstarter rewards was that it would take essentially a selfie of you in space. So it has a little monitor, and it would display a picture of you, and then it has a camera out on an arm, and it would take a picture of the monitor and the background being like the Earth or the Earth and some stars or something like that. Which I think is, I don't know.
Is that probably a thing?
I'm going to say it's not, actually. My status on selfies I'm pretty kind of anti them when you go to that length for it, I think.
That's not very organic.
Oh, no.
No, it's not spur of the moment. It's not, you know, you're not capturing the moment.
I guess you're sort of capturing that moment you decided to pay to get a picture of you kind of in space. Which looks like it could probably be photoshopped almost as quickly, but
and it may look better with Photoshop.
The movie Gravity looked really good.
Yeah, it did. I know.
Well, one of the things that the rover can probably see, because apparently you can see it from space now, is the smog in China, which I can tell you from firsthand experience is pretty awful. So, yeah, that should not be a thing. I think landing stuff on the moon should be a thing. Smog on Earth, not a thing.
They're just planning to evacuate, Alan. They're staging for when they realize, oh, we've screwed this up. Either that or it's the second Great Wall of China. Of the satellite. It's the Great Wall of the satellite age.
Oh, well, there was the Great Firewall of China, too.
Right? Yes.
Well, I mean, while the satellite age might be hampered by the smog in China, the National Reconnaissance Office, which I had never heard of as a thing, apparently it's a U.S. organization that is in control of all of essentially all the spy satellites. And I don't know. I think it's funny that the spy satellite organization is so public, but whatever. They apparently unveiled a logo last week, which is a picture of the globe and then a like huge octopus kind of reaching around the globe. And I want to say the tagline is something like, nothing is outside of our reach.
Nothing is beyond our reach.
Yeah.
Which seems like a very Bond villain-esque thing to put on your national organization. I feel like this is part of Spectre or something.
Right. As if it weren't, you know, bad enough to be associated with a kind of government agency that does any kind of surveillance at all.
Yeah, I don't think Orwell imagined Big Brother as a giant octopus.
It is very Bond villain. That's right. I guess, what's the other one? It's
Octopussy. It's freaking Octopussy. That was the logo.
That might be the only James Bond film that I've only seen once.
It's my earliest James Bond movie memory.
Oh, wow.
Watching that movie at home as a young child. It's too young of a child.
Yeah, probably. Mine was For Your Eyes Only.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All I remember is the guy who had the circular saw on like a cable that he used to kill people with, which I thought was very rude.
It was like a yo-yo.
Yeah, right? It was a yo-yo with like a circular saw blade on it.
Yeah. It seems little too much. Like you couldn't have used the gun, right? Well,
they took it to the next level and the world is not enough with the helicopters with the saw blades on them.
Yes. And Goldie, if I'm remembering correctly.
Right. Yeah, this is time for my shameless plug for another podcast, James Bonding, Matt Myra and Matt Gorley's podcast. Great, great thing to check out when you're done listening to us.
Yeah. also in a very kind of Bond villain-esque kind of thing, Google, you know, not a scary or kind of worrisome corporation at all.
Don't be evil.
Yeah, right. Don't be evil. They apparently just purchased Boston Dynamics, which if you're a listener to the podcast, you may have heard as the one that made the kind of four-legged running robot.
The machine that haunts my dreams.
It's meant to be, I mean, they make other robots, but the one that's been in the news recently is this one that it walks on four legs, it stands up, and it can carry, you know, large amounts of whatever. So they're essentially making it like a pack animal kind of thing. And they say that because it has four legs, it can navigate terrain really well. You can set it to just follow somebody. You essentially have it target someone, and then you have it follow you, and it will, you know, walk in your footsteps essentially. So if you were trying to navigate like a minefield or whatever, it would thread through the same way. But the just completely crazy thing is how it runs, because it runs really fast.
Faster than people.
Yeah. I think when they first made it, it was a tethered thing because they had to do, I don't think it was fuel. I want to say it was just the way that they had built the computers on it. It required kind of a long electrical tether, and it could run 25 miles an hour. So the non-tethered version can run, quote unquote, only 15 miles per hour.
It looks like something from Half-Life. Very fast.
I'm sorry?
It looks like something out of Half-Life 2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got kind of, I don't know, it's like the mixture between like a big dog and like an even bigger dog.
A big dog and a nightmare.
Yeah, it's just this armored dog, essentially. And they haven't mounted weapons to it, or at least they haven't
yet
released any videos about doing so. Although, can you imagine something like that just running at you? That would not be a good day.
No, that would be terrible.
Not only can it can target you, realize what you look like, and follow you, it can run faster than you and probably take you down pretty easily.
Or it could potentially bring you nice cold beverages.
if you're on the right
team. Or ammo, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Ammo and snacks.
Everything you need out in the field.
Yeah, this is the first step toward... I mean, I know I'm a big fan of Almost Human, the TV show, but this is well on its way.
Right, so Google will combine their self-driving cars, the robots, and what is it? Google Now? Is that the name of their voice-activated thing? And then Glass.
Right. So you never have to leave your home. You can have avatars throughout the world doing your bidding. What was that Bruce Willis movie?
Oh, ooh. That was kind of bad.
The one that we didn't go see?
No, I think... Wait, who went to go see it?
I think Ted and Julie went to go see
it. You're right.
We were like, no.
You're right. It's not expendable. It's... No, it'll come to me later. I feel like looking it up would be a bad thing.
Yes. Just know that there is some sort of Bruce Willis movie with Avatar people. But not, you know, like James Cameron Avatar.
No. No. Well, in a kind of topic related thing, there's some news about 3D printing, one of our other favorite topics on this show. We actually haven't said the word drone yet, so I have to just say it.
Aww.
So we can say the word drone
for those of you playing
show.
Not a thing bingo at home. And I apologize to those of you who are probably screaming at your iPod or radio knowing the answer to what is that Bruce Willis movie. I'm sorry, I know that feeling.
Oh, gosh, I almost had it. It'll come to
surrogates.
Me halfway.
Boom. Ah. Surrogates.
Well
that
done.
And I didn't even look it up. That was straight from the brain. Straight from the source.
Nice. Very well done.
I think it was looking at what our next topic is about the MPAA.
Oh.
It sparked my brain.
Right. So a while ago, if you've been to a movie in a theater, which I realize not everyone may have because of how ridiculously overpriced and how much you have to wait through so many ads at the theater and all the people who are annoying, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, in theaters, one of the ads they would run before the show would be kind of an anti-piracy ad. And one of the stings during the ad is, you wouldn't download a car. And apparently, Porsche is way ahead of the curve.
They've released 3D blueprints for the Cayman S model sports car. So you can, it's just the body, but still, sticking it to the MPAA wherever you can is a thing.
Yeah, you can, I guess you can download a car. Why not?
Well, I mean, I guess if you had a big enough 3D printer, you could make the body of the car and put it over your car.
Well, the Cayman, that's their kind of SUV, right?
No. That's the one that looks Cayenne. Like... Yeah, the Cayenne. Okay. No, the Cayman looks kind of like a Cayman... I see what they were going for there.
Okay.
Very sleek.
Yeah, okay. If it were the...
We're not Cayman. The Caymans aren't a frog. That's an alligator type thing. Whatever. Research. We don't do that. Hey, keeping it live, you got, keeping it real.
You got cigarettes or surrogates. You know what I mean? Surrogates.
This is what happens when we record this late.
We're recording late and maybe having had a little bit to drink. Maybe.
Maybe.
Surrogates.
Both of them will give you cancer.
So, yeah, if it were the Cayenne, that could fit over, you know, most kind of cars. And then, I mean, you would look really silly. It'd be like those, I mean, they made them like the little pullback cars where the motor, you know, it's the same for all of the cars, but they put kind of a bigger plastic body over it that could be whatever car shape you want. That's probably not what they're going for. I don't know.
I think it's more so you can make toys.
Okay.
And stick it to the MPAA.
Oh, speaking of kind of making toys and movies, that was one of the things that I thought was brilliant about the Toy Story movie, is that by doing that completely, you know, computer generated, not only do they have the possibility of doing a 3D movie that looks actually good because it is actually, you know, 3D, that is how it's rendered in computer anyway, but they have pretty much exact models of what the toys are going to be immediately. Great job, Pixar. This is why Disney picked you up. It's a thing.
Unlike the movie Toys, starring Robin Williams, which there's nothing from that anyone would want for anything. It's a terrible movie.
Poor LL Cool J.
You're right.
And Joan Cusack. Oh, what a waste.
Michael Gambon.
Yeah.
Why Dumbledore? Why?
And then the random kind of when the slug like corners, was it Michael Gambon in that? He corners him and then he makes, for no reason at all, says the kill switch code word from The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Klaatu, Barada, Nikto?
Yeah. That's the last thing he says when the slug gets him.
I might have blocked that out. You know, another great podcast. How did this get made? Did a great episode on that movie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's... A great podcast, but a terrible movie. That is, that's what you got there.
That's
a new record. Two plugs for other podcasts in one episode.
What else you got? What did you get? What you got? Well, it's funny because that leads also into the next kind of topic about it was more kind of an opinion piece. Actually, it is an opinion piece, but about the kind of discussion of the internet as a stream of kind of things, and that's been true pretty much since, you know, Twitter and trending topics and the way Facebook has kind of arranged their news feed and things like that. There's this kind of notion of all of the news or all of the things that are happening in the world, whether they're status updates or news items or press releases or pictures, text, everything is this kind of, you know, just stream that washes over you, and you have to kind of be in it in order to get updates and everything like that. And just how it worked really well when the internet kind of was smaller. There's just a lot to keep up on. I mean, the amount of time that a post kind of lives in people's devices is really small. I mean, it's very, very hard to like keep up with the stream. Like even just like looking at Facebook, I was a huge fan of reverse chronological order. I still am. I like most recent instead of news items. And when I'm looking at those, I will usually go back until I see a post that I've seen already, because that means hopefully that I've seen everything before that. But recently they've been doing a thing where if anyone comments on any of those stories, it bubbles them back up to the top. So it's no longer most recent by story. It's most recent by comment, which I don't like, but the alternative is whatever their regular news feed is, which is this weird algorithm of what's popular, probably based on how many people have commented on something or whatever. And I don't like that either. So,
but podcasts really don't fall into that category. Podcasts are forever.
Podcasts are absolutely forever. Yeah, I mean,
but also finite.
Yeah, well, we were one of the things that I think we've also talked about kind of on this show is that there's kind of a want for like a niche of something, like a set of things that kind of fit or work for you as a consumer of whatever. And podcasts are a really good kind of setup for that, because it is a finite thing. So there's a, you know, there's an end, but there's also kind of an expectation of kind of a package. Whereas a status update is very kind of point in time. It doesn't have a beginning, a middle, or an end. It might be one of those three or part of the journey, but like it's very hard just looking at a stream of stuff to get that kind of beginning, middle, and end kind of aspect of things. And so it really is, I think, the pendulum swinging the other way about how to kind of consume things. I mean, there have been much more things like podcasts, maybe not as long format though, like a thing that I see constantly right now are posts that are from, I think it's Upworthy,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of just very short, well actually sometimes not that short, but almost always video related kind of things. So you have to watch a video, which I generally don't like, but
oh.
Whatever. So they'll put it there, and then usually it's also posted with this like somewhat pithy, like vague, you should watch this because it's the best story from blah, blah, blah.
Hey, that sounds like our podcast. We're part of the stream.
But we're only the intro part.
We are islands in the stream.
Yes. So the whole thing with Upworthy is it's a tease to watch that video, which, whatever. But I think that that kind of need for something that is more discreet is a thing right now. I mean, that was why I was actually late to recording the show today. Not that you, the listeners, can tell because it's, you know, on demand and stuff. But I went to a pickup party for Content Magazine. It's a magazine that's produced out of San Jose. And it's just about, like, stuff happening in San Jose. And it's not necessarily, like, tech-oriented. Sometimes it is. But it is very, like, small business-oriented. And it's, you know, it's very homegrown. And one of the things that I like about it is they don't, or they will mail it to you if you don't pick it up. So every time the issue comes out, which is like every other month, they have a pickup party and they'll have like a local brewer with a beer, local wineries have their wine, they'll have some restaurant that has some food there, maybe a local band will play or some DJs, and they'll do it in kind of a funky space, usually, you know, around the Bay Area. So today it was at, I think it was called Method 42. It's this weird kind of warehouse of where signs go to die. And then the last one was at, not Mountain Winery, but the other one up in Saratoga where they have a music venue, Montalvo. Villa Montalva.
The other mountain winery?
Yeah, sort of. So it's I think it's funny because it's a physical magazine, and I like it because it's locally produced, but also the way they're going about kind of distributing it and building their community around it. And I think that's the like antithesis of the internet, right? A physical media of some sort.
It's already outdated, Alan. You're living in the past.
Oh, but maybe
now is the past.
Bit. Yeah, but I think there is a bit of a trend towards, if not kind of longer format kind of stuff versus tweets, at least a gravitation towards stuff that isn't for everybody. I mean, I think Twitter and Facebook have definitely moved into kind of a much more mass market kind of thing. I mean, not to the extent of, you know, TV, but it is like culturally significant enough that a lot of people kind of reach it, but it's not niche enough to really get content for people in the way that they want. Like, say, you know, the way that people might consume, you know, Netflix or Hulu or whatever. I think what's going to happen is we're going to have a lot more kind of fractured, like, islands, little things in the stream where that the things match up on. So there's going to be a lot of things, you know, if you like this, you might like this kind of thing. But
like Rock Band. There's the constant stream and you're hitting the right notes.
Yeah. I think it's just the stream model. I mean, it won't go away in the same way that, you know, it'll take a really long time for, you know, the MPAA to go away or TV to go away. I mean, it's going to change the way it's presented and kind of built, which is fine with me because I feel like the stream model is just an information overload more than anything else.
Those levees have broken.
So yeah, you know, if you're still into the stream, we still post stuff. Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, we are all contributors to the stream.
Yeah. I'm happy to say that my noise reaches the stream in haiku.
Right. We are now all part of the alpha and omega of the stream, but there's no omega because it never freaking ends.
There was a good quote in the article about reading Ulysses is easier than reading the internet, only because the internet ends, or the internet doesn't end, rather.
Right. It's the never-ending story. Be the Atreyu of your story.
I was a big fan of Falkor. I mean, how could you not, right? He's a luck dragon.
Obviously.
Are you more of an Artax kind of fan? You know, the horse? Getting you where you need to go? Getting stuck in the mud?
No. No.
So is that all we got this week? It's pretty good, kind of short and sweet.
I think we should turn off the stream. Do our part to not contribute too much to the stream.
I think the only thing I'm excited about in the next couple days is that you and I are meeting in Mortal Kombat this weekend.
Yes! The Super Bowl!
By some amazing set of machinations, you and I have our number one and two in the league. So
yes, in our fantasy football league. I don't think it's that much of a mystery. We're just really good at it. Even with Adrian Peterson getting hurt the first week of the playoffs, I still scrapped through.
Yeah, and well done.
I just wanted to announce to you that he is actually supposed to come back this week. So, oh, good luck. I must break you.
Oh, this is going to be a good week. I think I know I've been outperforming my like projection like week to week, and I'm sure you are. So
yes,
I think we're, I want to say less than a full point separates us in the projection.
Yes, with the current lineups, yes, that is correct. We're within a point, so it's really anyone's game. And if Ruben Randall goose eggs me again, I am gonna lose my shit. That. Saved by my kicker.
Excellent. Well, we'll have a lot to talk about next week.
Yes, and maybe by then we will have seen The Hobbit.
Possibly. You figure it's going to be out a few weeks, you might as well.
Well, if we're going to do a spoiler-centric episode breakdown like we did last time and try and get Tom on, then we should give people time to see the movie before we ruin it. Or, you know, before it's ruined by seeing it, which is some of what I've heard.
But... Well, we'll save that for next week.
Yes.
At least.
Until next time.
Good talking to you, Brendan.